Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. Allah with His grace and with His blessings has again to us given us a chance and assembled us in His home. In His home. And Allah has given us an opportunity that some we can speak for some time and go over some points in which, through which we can understand what we are lacking, our deficiencies, our mistakes, and so that we can distance ourselves from those issues. Our pious predecessors, in such gatherings, when they establish gatherings like this, then the objective was this point. That's the objective in the Khanqahs, when our pious elders, our pious predecessors, when they would assemble a majlis in a week, during the week or during the month, especially in the Thursday night, the night of Jummah in the Khanqah, the manner is like this. That in that gathering, there's no other objective of a lecture or a speech, etc. Rather, we revise and go over those points. We repeat those points, that special objective that we are here gathered for qurb ilahi, for the nearness to Allah, to arrive to Allah's nearness, to get to that position. So this is the sunnah of Allah, sunnah ilahi, that if something is repeated time and time again, reminded time and time again, then alhamdulillah, two things are attained with that. One is that barakah is attained, blessings are attained from Allah in that action. And secondly, for the human being, insan, that action becomes easy for him to implement. You will see that in salah, namaz, time and time again we repeat the same surah, surah al-Fatiha, and we recite the Quran, the tilawat of the Quran. And five times in the day Allah has made salah for the same action we repeat. Now we don't know Arabic, but we just learn it. We say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Maliki, Yawmi Ddeen. Rather, this is a big message. And we don't pay attention to what we actually saying, what we reciting. At least we should know the meaning of Surah Al-Fatiha. Yes, at least we should learn and understand the meaning. I'm not saying going to tafsir, hefty tafsir. But why are we saying this repeatedly to Allah? We stood, then we stand again, then we say again, then we stand, then we recite Surah Fatiha again. And it's not a burden, rather it is satisfaction we should attain. And if something, for example, is said wrong, then you have to do the punishment in the Salah, such as the correction prostration, that why didn't you pray like this, the way you were meant to do it, repeatedly. So there must be a reason that we are repeatedly saying this, reciting. That's the subject, same way the reason that we are sitting in this majlis, in the same manner we sit down regularly, alhamdulillah, our deficiencies and our problems. The people who have wisdom, they definitely do this action. That last week, there was something wrong in my actions, and then I learned something new today, so I can distance myself from my mistakes, so I get benefit. We haven't just come here for casual sit down, listen, or to sign on a sheet, or tick a box. No, we're not here for any other reason. Make niyyah, inshallah, intention what you're here for. Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, Rahmatullah alayhi, who is it that doesn't know his name? What a great sheikh in the history of Islam. And the father, grandfather, all the people who've passed away, we don't know their names. But today, when I just recited the name of this sheikh, then everybody knows who this person is. Yes, and he was the same, he was a human being. So what's the reason that his name has stayed in the memory? The reason was one, that he used to eat like us, and wear clothes like us, sleep like us, pray salah like us. But today, even we now recite his name, we give his reference, sat in the masjid. And not till today, rather until Qiyamah, the pious elders, their names will continue. So who is this? These are those people about whom Allah Ta'ala said that their lives are unique. After dying, they are still alive. Even after death they are alive, and their stories and their events and the examples continue to be shared. Reason is one, that they love the name of Allah, They attach themselves to the name of Allah. Then in their life they make friendship with Allah. And the person who becomes Allah's friend, Allah says, I don't leave that person. Rather, then I continue that person's example until a long time. And his name is recited by the tips of the tongues of people. Look here. And how we waste our lives. Think about it for a second. How we waste our lives. Our life, that for example, maybe will there be anybody to pray for us when we die? Maybe even our own children, will they pray for us when we die? Forget about friends and family. That might be difficult. Will people take us to our grave on our janazah? But those people who passed centuries before us, we don't know them, we're not related to them, but with love we mention their names. For them we recite Khatam al-Khwajgan. We recite the verses and we do dhikr. And the reason why is this, we need to understand. A very great path Allah Ta'ala has given to us, the deen of Islam, and we should be alive on this path. Hazrat used to say, Rahimahullah, that if you revive Allah's name and make Allah's name alive, then Allah will make you alive. Yes, this is a great action. So we should come to the gathering, we should work hard, invite people, come, there's a gathering of dhikr of Allah, come to the dhikr of Allah, come to the majlis of Allah, with love invite people, propagate. Allah says, if you give da'wah for my name, Allah says, then the angels will promote your name, that this man, he do dua for him, he's upset, he's down, this man's got difficulties. Why? Because he's propagating Allah Ta'ala's name, his deen. Does anyone ask you, where are you going? Look, I'm going to the masjid to pray salah. Just say this from your mouth. The brother, today is the night of Jummah, there's a dhikr gathering. You also come. But we don't even want to move our jaws to say that. We can't even tell our children to come with us. Our family members and household, look, I'm going to dhikr. You can put it on online and listen. Our job is just to tell people, share with people. Allah will change the hearts. Tabligh is in this, that you have to go on a long journey and give tabligh, go far and wide. Tabligh is every second of the day, every moment. You make niyah that you give dawah to your wife, this is a great tabligh. Ku anfusakum, Allah says, tabligh starts at home with your wife and your children. Why are you going too far, far from your home? You don't need to run around outside. No. There's no benefit of telling my family. There's no thawab in that. There's more thawab in giving da'wah to your family. Not that you pick up the stick and you beat your family and you fight with them. No. Make a niyah. Allah's given instruction. Do tabligh and start tabligh with your family. So what we realize is the first thing Allah will ask us about tabligh, about spreading the deen and Islam, that did you do any work of spreading Islam? And then Allah will ask, that yes, Allah told this man and that man. Allah says, no, this is not the work of the deen. That was what I told you in the Quran. Allah said, first I gave you the hukum instruction, that did you do tabligh with your wife and your children? Oh, no, I didn't pay attention to them, I'll say. Allah said, what I told you to do, you didn't do. So step back. Say, Subhanallah. So the real work that Allah has given to us, the genuine, look how nafs, our ego, it betrays us, our house is spoiled, our children are spoiled. Any society, nothing can affect the deen of Islam. If according to Allah Ta'ala's guidance, it doesn't matter where you live in the world, and if you live your life according to Allah's guidance, then no society will affect you negatively. Nothing will change yourself. What a great hadith. That even an enemy is running, he's running after you, and you run away from him. How shall I save myself from the enemy? And you see a fort, a castle, and you run into that castle, then the enemy cannot affect you. So it doesn't matter where you go, which hemisphere you live in, but if you're in that boundary that Allah has given you, then nothing can spoil you. Our wife, your children, your family, they won't go off track. Nothing will affect them. But because we don't go into that fort, that castle, that safe place, we don't live our life in the security. Allah doesn't say, don't live here, don't live there, don't travel there. Show me any verse in the Quran. Is there any verse where Allah restricts you? It says, go, spread, قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Go look around the dunya and travel and see far and wide. Look at what is going on in the world around you. But Allah says, protect yourself wherever you travel, wherever you go, wherever you live. Look, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam was sent on tabligh. Harun alayhi salam is going on tabligh. What did Allah say to them? The last nasiha Allah gave to them, the go Musa, go to this region, this is what you have to do. Allah gave them the deen, the teaching, and the tools, everything. At the end, what did Allah say? One thing, Musa, be careful if you want to be successful, that don't leave my dhikr. La tansa dhikrullah. Allah said in the Quran. Don't leave my dhikr. Such a great Nabi. Ultimately, Allah said, because the dhikr of Allah is a castle, is a fort. You'll be safe and protected. So Fir'aun, his magicians, when they come to spoil you, nothing will happen. Go wherever you go, in whatever manner you propagate the deen. But if you grab hold of that tariq Allah has given, that going this way and speaking this way, then nothing negative can affect you. Nothing can affect you. No enemy can affect you negatively. But it's us who ourselves, we have issues and problems because we don't follow the tariqah that Allah has prescribed. Isn't this the case? So what was I saying? Yes, Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullahi, one of his events, great pious elder, great sheikh. So, he was a great personality. When a name of a sheikh is said, I feel like that we should speak about the people, because it's thawab. When you speak about a friend of Allah, Allah Ta'ala is happy with that. So when his name comes, whenever you remember a sheikh, then you should definitely share one or two events about their life. So as a Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah was a great sheikh, and he had great experience, and his uncle was Sheikh Sakhti rahmatullah. And he was also his sheikh, and he realized that my nephew is not some minor personality. It looks like he's going to grow up to be a famous person. And he gave him tarbiyah. And look at the achievement, that he was 7 years old. What's 7 years old? Tell me. Little children nowadays, 7 years, you'll have children in your families, that age. So he went to Makkah al-Mukarramah, and there the pious predecessors, the sheikhs, the awliya of the time were sat there. And they were debating over a point. And you know, the debates are like this, that for example nowadays we debate on futile points, hazir, nazir, this and that. But their debates used to be on great points of deen. And what was their debate at that time? That let's define shukr, being a shakir, how to be grateful. And all of them used to have kashf and nisbat and connection with Allah, whatever, when their hearts would attest to the facts and the knowledge and the majalis that they used to have. And this is Makkah al-Mukarramah. They sat there, the awliya Allah, and they're discussing. So as a Shaykh Sakhti, he arrived there. And also Hazrat Junaid rahmatullah was there, 7 years old. And the discussion was on which point? The shukr, being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when his turn came, as a Sheikh Sakhti rahmatullah, who was the Sheikh of Hazrat Junaid, who was his uncle, who made Junaid what he was to be. So when his turn came, he said, I won't answer, my nephew will give the answer to you. My nephew. They said, where's your nephew? They thought maybe some older person or some great person. He said, where's your nephew? Where's he sitting? He said, he sat next to me. My nephew. 7 years old, this child. He'll give the answer. And they didn't say, oh, what will this child say? He's not capable. You're joking. They stayed silent. They were attentive. Please, okay, fine. Please, can you define how to be grateful to Allah? So he said, my nephew, Junaid, define being grateful, being shukr. As Junaid, rahmatullah, he closed his eyes. He closed his eyes. And he said, shukr is this action. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to an insan gives anyone a ni'mah, a treasure, then that treasure, after taking that treasure from Allah, then he should never disobey Allah after that. Subhanallah. He should never disobey Allah. He said, this is the definition of being grateful to Allah. Now you tell me, that can there be a greater definition of being grateful than this? Now if we say that we are grateful, alhamdulillah, we're grateful to Allah, alhamdulillah, shukr to Allah. No. What is the definition? That when Allah Ta'ala gives you a ni'mah, a treasure, that ni'mah that Allah has given to you, that gift Allah has given to you, the positive thing Allah has given to you, then how should you be grateful for that? The definition due to that ni'mah, you should not disobey Allah. You should not disobey Allah. So this is the definition. Now me, for a few months, la ta'suha, Allah says, you cannot even count how many ni'mas Allah has given to you. You lose count. Allah has given you more than that. So many ni'mas and treasures Allah has given in our lives. Then tell me, for those ni'mas that Allah has given to us, what is Allah saying? How should you be grateful? That don't disobey me. Save yourself from disobeying me. That's when you'll be grateful. Allah has given you an eye. What a great treasure. Hands, your feet. I speak with my tongue. I just ate my food, my teeth, my mouth, and the digestive system. What a treasure. What a treasure. Ni'mala. The legs, the feet. I didn't go to a pub. Allah sent me to his home, to the masjid. What a ni'mah. With my body, I didn't go towards a sin. Allah Ta'ala sent me to his sajda, prostration. What a ni'mah. What a treasure. So does it, is it really good after that that I lie or I backbite or I disobey Allah, commit sin? Look here, Deenul Islam is so simple. What we think is Islam is different, but Islam is different. So it's lazim, essential for a human being that when he starts to disobey, then immediately think about the ni'mas that Allah Ta'ala has given to you. Ooh, Allah's given me all these things in my life and I'm disobeying Him. I'm stealing. I'm not praying salah. I'm not going to the masjid to pray salah. I don't go to masjid to pray in Jama'ah congregation. I'm not doing the right things. Anything you start to do wrong, if somebody stops you from doing good, yes, there's no need. You yourself should stop out of your own reflection and analysis. Look at the walis of Allah. Look at their great statements. How he defined Hazrat Junaid Sahib rahmatullahi, what is a grateful servant of Allah. So this was Junaid al-Baghdadi rahmatullahi. So he was a Sahib al-Kashf. MashaAllah, he had a lot of vision and good experience. So another example of his, it was the when he was about to depart from the world. Remember, there are two part times of the Wali Allah. One is the time of their birth, which is unique. One is the time of departure from the dunya. That's unique as well. Coming is unique to the world for a Wali Allah, and departure is also unique. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or you don't understand what I'm saying? This majlis is like this. We say this is the majlis of the humble servants, the faqirs. We speak simple things, simple examples. So brothers, when he was dying, everyone's to die one day. All of us are to die. There's no one who's going to stay here forever. So when the Wali Allah departs, then his departure is unique. The experience is unique. So the people who were about to give him ghusl after he passed away, obviously his eyes were closed. As whenever he was dying, when they put the water, when they're putting water on his eyes, then and they heard a voice from the ghaib. They said, don't put water on his eyes. Because these are those eyes that always with the dhikr of Allah, they stayed closed. With the beautiful taste. You know when you do maraqabah, you close your eyes and you remember Allah. So they said these eyes always stayed closed due to the beautiful taste experience with the dhikr of Allah. So don't open them, put water in there. That only with Allah's sight will these eyes open. Subhanallah. Nothing can open these eyes. So my brothers, as the Junaid Baghdadi, the point I was making was discussing that today's majlis, the objective that we're here for, what we need to attain, the important point is that we should repeat our lessons, because without learning this lesson, we cannot get success. And 99% of people, due to not reminding themselves of this lesson, they fail on this path. They do ibadah, they worship, but they don't have this quality in our lives that I'm reminding you, so we cannot be successful. Then they will leave as failures from this dunya. And they will go in a bad situation at the time of death. And thereafter, so that's why I'm speaking about this subject. What's that point? That Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, that a person came to him for tarbiyah, for improvement. You know, just like a murid, a student will go to a khanka, okay, let's go to my sheikh to meet him, let's go into his company. So same way a person came to Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi for tarbiyah, for improvement, for islah, purification, not 2 days, 3 days. I've never seen a wali, it takes all life, decades to improve the person. But when that person goes into that well, when he goes and jumps into the ocean, then he doesn't come back, he doesn't run back, and he'll keep on trying. There's different people, for example, they're going here and there, but spiritually, always the student is in the khanka. Doesn't matter if he's working somewhere, studying somewhere, etc. You can have that experience when you have a connection with the sheikh. Then you are attached to that teacher, and you have that unique feeling. That you may wander around the world, but you are there spiritually, in the company of the teacher. That's where you get the benefit from. Just like, for example, that if you pray salah, and for example, that the sheikh calls out, you say, yes, I'm here, my teacher, I'm nearby, I was with you. So always the student's thinking about the teachings of the sheikh, when he's going to dhikr, I have to pray, I have to do this, Hazrat Sahib said this, my teacher said this, he instructed this, he advised this, when you speak to your children, then again the example of your teacher, you go shopping, then again another reminder of your sheikh, you sat with the friends, discussion, always you're thinking about the teacher, the connection, the improvement. When this happens, then think, alhamdulillah, that Allah Ta'ala has accepted this path for you, your practice on the path. And you're on the right path. You won't come off track. And mashallah, tasarruf the shaykh is working on the student. This is called tasarruf. The shaykh's tawajjuh, his attention, his regard, his focus is on the student. So he went, and didn't just go for one day. 30 years the student spent in the company of Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi. 20 years. After 20 years then he put his bedding together, belongs to the and Hazrat Shaykh said, listen for a moment, you came and you're leaving. How many years? 20 years, he said, you've just come so soon, you're leaving. Subhanallah. How many days? He said, how long did you stay? He said, 20 years. He said, oh, subhanAllah, I didn't really get to know you. Hazrat Junaid Sahib Rahmatullah said, that I didn't really get to know you. And why did you come and why are you departing? Tell me at least. He said, Hazrat, now he told his niyyah. He showed his niyyah, because he's leaving as a failure. He said, I came for this reason, Shaykh, that I heard a lot about you, your praise, that there's a great wali Allah, he lives there, people are praising you, and that I came to you with the intention. But one day, 2 days, forget about days, much longer than that has passed, 20 years have passed, and I've not seen any supernatural quality or miracle in your life that can give me that satisfaction. Look at that difference in his niyyah. Some people here, they sit all life long in the company of the shaykh because they want to see a miracle. Then they will say to that shaykh, oh, give me bayah, pledge of allegiance. Allahu Akbar. Yes, how will that student be successful? Tell me if there's the wrong intention. Can never be successful. That no way should you be trying to prove a point by seeing something. Rather, you should have this intention that I'm off track, I'm deviant. I need to go to the teacher to ask him to advise me and guide me back to the right path. The Hazrat, explain to me the right path because I'm off track. And accept that you're off track. Not that I'm an alim, I'm a scholar, I've already achieved. No, say I'm off track. I'm deviated and I don't need to see the proof of any miracles, etc. And people praise you. But I've come to request you, O teacher, that you guide me. This is sunnat ilahi. Even if that shaykh is not nothing in reality, but Allah says, I will bring you to the right path. That is how great is the niyyah. First, your niyyah should be correct when you go to the teacher. Wahid, only one, solely my shaykh, traveling and coming and sitting and coming to you for guidance. Only one objective, Allah, is Allah, please give me the straight path. So, as Junaid Sahib Rahmatullah, he said, Acha, is this the reason? So you only came here and you look for miracles and due to not seeing any supernatural event, you are turning back, going away? He said, okay. He said, then tell me one thing. That in the 20 years you stayed with me, in those 20 years, did you see any action in my life, any amal, anything, any action on the sunnah, any action I'm doing, which that I was not regular and steadfast on that? Subhanallah. 20 years. Tell me one action. One action. Subhanallah. Big claim here. He said, yes, this point I have not seen. That mashallah, your actions were regular and steadfast and correct. Just like someone asked about my Hazrat Sahib, my Shaykh. How many years were you with your Shaykh? 60 years, 50 years. I was in the company of my teacher. Somebody asked me that ever did you see Hazrat Sahib, your teacher, that you felt that dhikr wasn't happening? I had never thought for a second that there will not be dhikr in the morning during the lifetime and the sohbet of my teacher. I can close my eyes and say that dhikr is happening right now in the morning, Hazrat. I never saw to this extent that mashallah, he was a great personality, my teacher. That when he passed away, then after finishing the dhikr majlis, he passed away. It was the night of Jummah. It was the night of Jummah they did maraqbah, just like we have the dhikr maraqbah. And this is the silsila that's starting from there. I haven't made this up myself. This is the instruction and guidance of my teacher. Just sit for a few moments, that 15, 10 minutes when you do dhikr maraqbah. From this silsila you get the fez. It's not from Naples, it's come from Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullahi. Centuries back. I'm sharing that with you. That's today's topic that I've chosen. That's why we're failures. So that path, you should take hold of that path and that route and that method that you went to your teacher for. And be regular and steadfast on that path. That tell me, so someone asked, did you see your shaykh? Did you see me do anything out of sequence? Then he said, no, I didn't. He said, then can there not be a greater miracle than this? That every amal I do is regular and steadfast. This is a karamat every day. Even, for example, the magicians in the world, impure people, non-Muslims will show you miracles and magic, etc. But this action of being steadfast on the deen, this is fawqal karamat. Istakamat, steadfastness, is fawqal karamat, is greater than hundreds of thousands, millions of miracles. What is the status of miracle? Does Allah Ta'ala ever said in the Quran that you need to look out for miracles and supernatural things? But Allah said about istakamat, steadfastness. Allah's praised it greatly. The whole Quran, Allah's mentioned the praise of being steadfast and regular in your practice. Allah says, when you believe in Allah, then what you do? ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, Allah says after that. When you believe in Allah. Allah, whoever says Allah and believes in Allah, and then he sticks to that deen. He sticks to that deen. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. What's the word Allah Ta'ala says? Whoever has istiqamah in his life, steadfast on his actions, regular, doesn't turn back. تَنَّزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ, Allah says. SubhanAllah. Allah says, then the angels will come to that person. At what time? When he's dying, when he gets lowered into his grave, the angels in their droves will come. Big groups of angels will come to his assistance. Allah's mentioned in the Quran. What did he do? Not that he was looking for miracles, etc. No, because he had istiqamah in his life. He didn't wilt. He didn't come off track. Hot or cold, whatever environment, wherever he was in the dunya. But he stood firm on the deen. He didn't leave the deen. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامَهُ. He was strong on his practice. And today, what are we? Yes, we claim that we're this and that. After 4 days, we'll take a U-turn and disappear. Discipline. When we start coming to the majlis, we'll come fast, salah, front row. After a few days, they go back rows, they disappear. Disappear. Dhikr, teach me dhikr, we say to our teacher, teach me dhikr. After learning dhikr, we disappear, we stop doing dhikr. Is this how Allah Ta'ala's nearness is attained? Allah's qurb is attained. One action, if you bring it into your life. One action. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Stick to it like super glue. If you want to be successful, don't look for quantity. My Hazrat, my Shaykh used to say, if you have learned dhikr and taken it from your teacher, then be regular, steadfast. The evening you sit down and say 3 times, La ilaha illallah, but you do it regularly, then you'll be successful. Yes? But that's what istiqamah means. Don't look for quantity. Yes? That doing high quantity, for example, you have the whole day on any of your sheets. For example, you are practicing here. This is what Allah Ta'ala is making us practice. Istiqamah. Be regular in your practice. Yes. Fard. For example, the greatest ibadah Allah Ta'ala is giving to us, which is what? Compulsory is salah. In salah is the sardar, the head of all of the amal, of all of the deeds. So in salah, what is Allah Ta'ala making us practice in salah? Is istiqamah, regularity. Time and time again, Allah calls us. Time and time we go. Allah calls us, we go. Allah calls us, we go. Because Allah likes this action. And this fard, compulsory, without this you cannot succeed. You must. So this is not the definition of fard, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامَةً. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامَةً, that we have to practice the fard. You can't live without that. But what are we being steadfast on? The actions that Allah is saying, when we say this is not necessary, that's where we have to be steadfast. That's where we have to be. Salah is fard. We have no choice. We have to do that. But when you do, for example, take a nafl, take an optional action, take a mustahab, take a sunnah action, we say, oh, there's no benefit in this. The biggest deception of shaitan today in this day and age is this is not necessary. And this is the action of the sunnah will become a path of guidance for us. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Maliki, Yawm al-Din, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqeem. Allah, show us the straight path. What are we asking Allah? Time and time again? Ihdina sirat al-sirat. The path of mustaqim. Hazrat Shaykh, when he explained this verse, and the respected scholars, they'll understand when I say this. I'm not an alim, but only the walis of Allah, and the scholars will understand this. They said, Hazrat Shaykh says, sirat al-mustaqim, sarat, the definition of sirat, the path, is in mustaqim. The sarat, the path, the quality of the path in is mustaqim. That amal, that action in which there is regularity, that will take you to the guidance. And that action in which there is not regularity will not take you to the guidance. So you're asking Allah for this. Allahumma ihdina sirat al-mustaqeem. Allah, give me that path in which there is regularity, steadfastness, consistency. Allah, stick me to that path. That will give you hidayah. If you're not stuck to that path, then it won't give you the hidayah. It won't give you the guidance. Do you understand this point? You don't understand this point. Very knowledgeable point this is. Yes, when Subhanallah, Hazrat Sahib was given this bayan, there was lots of scholars there, they were saying Subhanallah when they understood this definition. Hazrat Sahib said, Sirat, the quality in Sirat, in the path of the straight path is Mustaqeem. Mustaqeem. That when you practice something regularly, correctly, consistently, that will be Sirat al-Mustaqeem. If you don't have istiqamah, steadfastness, then that will not give you the guidance. Today, you do 10,000 tasbih, 15,000, then you leave it, then you come back, then you leave the deen, then you come back again. You will never be able to succeed on this path. This humble servant has seen many people turn away. They come, they go, they sit, they go. Yes, they spend a few days, 10 years, 15 years, then they disappear. They disappear. But 10, 15 years is nothing. Istiqamah means continue until the day of death. You should continue on the path of practice. You'll have seen that when a person goes to somebody else to get bayah, pledge of allegiance to the teacher. He is passionate because he's new and fresh. And Faiz is coming to him, the blessings of the Sheikh, new lease of life, new phase of life. Jaws, Sheikh, tell me more, give me more wazifa, give me more recitation, more practice, especially women. Should we pray this nafil? Should we do this? Should we do ibadah? They have the desire, the passion. Give me more actions, more actions. But you will see the Kamil Sheikh, the complete Sheikh, that he keeps the student in check, in balance. After 15 years, my Sheikh gave me ijazah to do nafil ibadah. 15 is, there was no ijazah, just pray fard, practice the, and pray sunnah muqaddah, and then the rest of the time do dhikrullah. There was no ijazah from the Sheikh then. Waswasa comes, shaitan says, why is this? Why can't I do this amal? Other people are doing a wabin salah, they're doing these actions. This is the point that shaitan wants to take you off track and away from the connection with the teacher. When you have a connection, you have one niyyah, that I have selected this Sheikh, my teacher. For example, you come to Salah. I'll come 10 minutes before. That's it. This amal will become very great. The wallahi, through this action that Allah Ta'ala likes, that I'll come early for Salah, Allah will unlock the padlocks towards other. That if you make this niyyah today, I will come 10 minutes before Salah. Our niyyah would be that we are going to go early so that I can welcome my teacher. Everyone's got their own taste experience. This is the Khanqa environment. I want to meet my teacher. And the teacher comes 30 minutes before. So 1 hour before we would go from the time of tahajjud and stand outside the Khanqa before our teacher arrived. Adab. And in our life, we never stop that practice then from day one to the end. So whatever amal you select, extra, voluntary, optional, that this many Qurans I want to read, tahajjud, I have to do thousands, no! Through istiqamat of a minor action, you'll get the success. As a Junaid Baghdadi, they passed away and somebody saw him in a dream after he died. As I said, look at istiqamat in his life. It was istiqamat is the greatest miracle. And the student saw him after his death in a dream. He said, Hazrat, what happened to you? He said, Allah forgave me. Subhanallah, what happened? What was the questioning? What was the reckoning? He said, all ibadah was thrown to one corner. Allah Ta'ala threw all my ibadah into one corner. All my worship that I was proud of, Allah threw it to one corner. Because Allah's court is the unique court. But the two nafil that I would read and pray in the night regularly, consistently, Allah Ta'ala selected that and said that I've forgiven you based on this action. Why? Allah Ta'ala says himself, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. That whoever adopts regularity, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ تَحْزَنُونَ. Allah says that the most dangerous time, you won't have any grief, you will not have any worries. The angels will show you the ni'mas of paradise, the gardens of paradise, that the amount of fear that was in your heart, what will happen, I'm going to die, my reckoning, my questioning, my grave. The most worry a person does about the time of death. The time of death, the time in the grave, the most dangerous time for you. The Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions, used to cry when they thought about this. What's going to happen to me at death? What will happen to me after death? What will happen in the grave? Shaitan says, don't worry, don't worry. But the mu'min, he always fears about death. When you stand in the funeral prayer of a person, what's happened to this person? He's died. What's going to happen to him? What will happen in his grave? What world has he gone into? What phase? For that dunya, Allah gives a big guarantee on this one action, that if you take the tasbih, you do my dhikr, even if you do 3 minutes a day, but don't leave the action, do it every day until your death, you'll be successful. If you start coming here on the night of Jummah, then say 100%, I will not miss this gathering. Through this one regularity, Allah will give you success. That at least one action, stick to it regularly, make a niyyah, because Allah Ta'ala has made a promise. That is what Allah Ta'ala says in this verse. Allah says, أَلَّا تَخَافُوا لَا تَحَزَنُوا أَبْشُرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ. Allah says, the khawf, the fear that you have, that will be replaced with the glad tidings of Jannah. The angels will show you that scene, due to which action? Because you did not come off the right path. Shaitan whispered, he gave you waswasa, he tried to take you off track, but you didn't leave the regular actions. But today we do dramas. I come today, then I leave tomorrow. Start doing this amal tomorrow, then I leave it the day after that. No. Allah Ta'ala says, I select myself sometimes. That for example, Allah generates a desire in somebody's heart to do something. Allah gives a desire to serve, for the student to serve his teacher. To serve his teacher. He does 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, he disappeared. Why? Because his heart is filled. He's had enough. Shaitan says, this is not necessary. It's not fard, is it? Helping the teacher, serving the teacher. But istiqamat comes via the nafil action. Fard is fard. You can't leave that anyway. There's no istiqamat anyway. You have to do that daily. It's a unique point I'm telling you here. Yeah? That we think, oh yeah, I pray 5 times a day. I've got istiqamat. This is not istiqamat. Istiqamat, steadfastness on those deeds that have no instruction. They're not fard. But for Allah's radha, you grab hold of that deed. Say subhanAllah. You won't get this point anywhere else. I'm telling you now. Yes, we think istiqamat is 5 times salat. Don't look for Jannah through that. The nafil actions are the great actions. They elevate the status of a person. Why? Because you have to be regular, steadfast on those actions. Only then can you succeed. That's why Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi Ramza say that Allah selected my 2 nafil rakat. That's why he gave me forgiveness. Fard is fard. You can't leave that. Leave 1 salah. Then Allah's azab will start on you. Istiqamat is not on the fard actions. Istiqamat is on the action that you select specifically to attain the nainis wala. And they are the nawafil actions. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. We think a 5 times salah, I've got istiqamat. I keep fasting in Ramadan, that's istiqamat. This is not istiqamat. This is if we don't do these actions, then the punishments will come, the azabs will come if we don't do it. Istiqamat, regularity, steadfastness, is Allah says, if you don't do it, no problem. If you pray the hajjud, fine. If you don't, it's not a sin. Is it a sin if you don't pray the hajjud? No sin. If you don't recite Quran, is it a sin? No, it's not a sin. If you don't become a hafiz, it's not a sin. It's not fard. It's not compulsory. The asking, the questioning, reckoning will be on the fard. So that's not istiqamat. But take hold of an action in your life to attain Allah's nearness, which is not fard, which is not wajib, which is not compulsory. But say, no, I've done this once to please Allah. Now I'm not going to leave this action. This is my memory of my nearness to Allah. Subhanallah. Allah says, now you step back. You grabbed hold of an extra optional action, which wasn't necessary for you to do. It wasn't fard. But you knew that I was happy with this, Allah was saying. You knew that with this action, I'll be happy when you use miswak. Maybe I'll die, but I won't leave miswak. That's the selection, the decision you make. When you start using surma in the night, 4th day, then 5th day, leave it. No. You took hold of that sunnah action because Allah is happy with that. You take the surma, it's not fard. Is it fard to use surma in the eyes? But you take it and you do that. Then lifelong until death, you do surma in your eyes and then inshallah you will see Allah with those eyes. Subhanallah. That's why I stated that the sunnah actions are great. Take any sunnah action. Subhanallah. That I want to please Allah with this sunnah action. I don't want to leave it now. Then alhamdulillah, stay with action till death. It's not fard. That for example, you start to wear sunnah libas. Why do you wear white clothes? Why do you wear white clothes, people? Yes, you're right. It's not fard to wear white clothes. It's not wajib to wear white clothes. It's not a sin if you don't wear white. No. But for this reason, Allah's Nabi said that I like the white clothes. Subhanallah. So I grab hold of that white sunnah. So whatever Allah Ta'ala's Nabi like, if you like that, then you are successful. Alhamdulillah. You say, leave it, ya, leave all the other colors. Let me take that color that Rasul likes. Then all lifelong, he says, I want to wear white with that niyyah. But it's not fard the wajib. But it's not a sin if you don't do it. But if you adopt it, bring it to your life with the correct niyyah, and have istiqamah, steadfastness, thumma istiqamu, that's it. So this is where a human being fails. He starts doing Islamic actions. After a few days, he then makes a U-turn. He leaves. So you come in the morning, do maraqbah. When you see that you're benefiting, then keep doing it regularly, alhamdulillah. Don't just leave it after a few days. Yes, the human being, okay, sometimes you're sick, you're unwell, or there's a problem or an issue at home, you can't come, then don't worry. Allah says, don't worry. That in your image, the angels will sit and they will continue to do the action. They'll take your place. Don't worry, this istiqamah, they will take your place, they will count the numbers for you, don't worry. Yes, but Allah Ta'ala says you have to be extremely cautious in tasawwuf, in the path of purification and attaining the nizwal. The most important principle is istiqamat. And steadfastness is on what? Tell me. Look. You'll say istiqamat is on what action? Very simple formula. Qunu ma'as-sadiqeen. Subhanallah. That if you go to a sheikh, a pious elder, go to him, request the Hazrat, honorable sheikh, I want to know the path that takes him to Allah. Whatever action he gives to you, then that is the path of istiqamah. You don't need to look for A to Z, do this, that. If he says, come in the morning, sit in the... That's the end of story. What he's prescribed to, the teacher. And if you have that connection with the teacher, you maintain a relationship. Yes, subhanallah. That this is the relationship that, for example, when you do the nikah and you say, yes, based on these terms and conditions, I accept this female in my nikah. And then the same way the female says, after marriage, that you do what you're doing, you earn and I'll earn. Rather, the male has committed that he will earn and provide for the family, for the wife. But he says, after marriage, no, you go and work, you learn more and I'll earn more, and we'll go and do this, we'll spend this. And she'll say, but you promised to Allah something else. That nikah is fisk. It's fisk. You promised Allah, I'm taking this woman in your name, in my nikah. In Allah's name, you took that woman in your nikah. And you promised Allah, I'll protect her, safeguard her in your name, I'm taking her under my security, and I will feed her, give her clothes and drinks, food to drink, and subhanAllah. Not that she'll work for me. Isn't this the problem? You say to your wife, you go out and earn as well. Go, mashallah, good, bring money home. And what will that money be? That will create fitan and fasad in your homes. That woman, she won't remain as a female, then as a woman, she'll be out of the control. She'll go out of the boundary of the deen. She'll start enjoying the money. Now, don't think this is a personal attack on women. I'm just speaking generally here. That amongst us, we live in a society nowadays in the modern era, and these points may look weird, but Islam tells us this. Islam tells us this. And that we start our life from nikah, the marriage bond, the promise, the start of a life. And when we marry, before even marriage, we discuss with the wife, you go and work there, and you'll work there and bring money home, etc. But the beautiful things that you should earn, oh, male all lifelong, and your wife should be waiting for your home, and you go and you give the money to her for the house, for running the house. And she should not leave the four walls of the house. Look at the quality. We say, what's her qualities? What skills has she got? She's studied, earned money. She's got Quran, earned money. She's got this skill and degree and money, whether she's been 50, 60 pounds, but she's got earn and bring home. We demand this. Somebody, does this make sense that we utilize our wives for this? But the dunya has run after this today. And we, those who have Quran and Hadith and who have got Sharia and knowledge, they put that to the back and they are also running after this as well. And what do we read and study? Wala dalin. What do we recite? Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim sirat al-ladina anamta alayhim ghayril maghdubi alayhim wala dalin. We ask Allah for the straight path and we go onto the bent path. We don't even have tawakkul in Allah, trust in Allah. That woman I've brought to my home as my wife in the name of Allah. And beyond that, when you bring your wife home and feed her and provide for her, there'll be so much barakah, I swear by Allah, in your earnings, you cannot imagine. You cannot imagine that 10 pounds that you earned with your hands. At that time, and that your wife, she's doing the housework at home, she'll look after you, and that will be a home of peace and satisfaction. You can imagine your children will be excellent children. Excellent children. But today, the greed of the world, money, wealth, we want more wealth. We expel the women from the home. The females are out of the house. And then we put the blame on them. That the people here say we have to do this. No one forces you to do this. Your stomach that forces, your greed forces you. No person out there. Our greed forces us. Earn money from that. Then we'll get a bigger house and she'll earn. We'll do this. And there are women like this. I'll tell you the truth. They don't want. They have a profession. Yeah. They have a profession. There's someone's a doctor and other women folk. Those women folk that I have connection with women, they cry at the Hazrat Sahib, please save us. That my husband doesn't work, but I have to go to work. That shall I bring up the children or shall I work? I give the rent, I pay for the upkeep, the house and the shopping, etc. The husband doesn't do nothing and he's got married to me. And she's a pious woman, salih, upright. Pious, that's why she's done tawbah and taken bayah. Hazrat Sahib, how do I practice my deen? That I have to go into a place with strangers and sit among strangers and work with them and my life changes. So this is not our deen. We don't understand this as a principle of deen. One thing, alhamdulillah, one point of Islam, if you discard it, if you shun it, then you're like you're driving a car. Let's say you're driving a car. Yeah. Example, if one wheel of the car or if the engine seizes, the car won't drive. If the wheel punctures, it won't drive. Expensive car, one part of the car, one part, mechanic will come, he has to look for the defect, diagnose it, fix it, then the car will drive. Yes. So the deen of Islam is the same. Look at all the parts of the deen and you strip them down and throw them away. You say, my du'as are not accepted, my prayers are not accepted, I'm not enjoying myself, my Ramadan's not nice, etc. You've taken the parts out of the deen. You've taken the parts out of the car. Every part of the Sharia is extremely precious, my brothers. That's why it's important that an alim, a scholar, knows every part and component of the deen. He made a niyyah, an intention, Allah, I want to learn your knowledge of your deen, al-Islam, so that I don't take any component out of my life. I didn't learn knowledge to give speeches and lectures and going to big gatherings. No, Allah, I went to your Darul Uloom to learn knowledge, to understand the knowledge of your deen, so I can spend my life 100% on deen, al-Islam and Sharia. Say subhanAllah. That's why a person becomes a scholar. You don't become a scholar, so I become learned. I've not even graduated and go and sit on the minbar and give big speeches, big gatherings, and start to rectify the people. As a Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah, that you yourself, O scholar, are not reformed, how will you reform other people? Look at his writings and his learnings. So, that if you don't have fear in your heart, then how will you instill fear into other people's hearts? Yes, Allah says, khashiyat has to come into you first. And you run onto the prayer mount, to the minbar, and give speeches even before you have reformed yourself. That's why ilm is a high level scholar, an alim. Why? Because the gap won't come inside, but we've gone upside down. Rather we say, no, it's okay, we don't have to do this, we can do this, and we take a U-turn. Oh, it's okay, it's permissible, this is jais, and this is wrong. So this is the reality, that one part or component of the deen, if we bend it, then if we look at a car, the car cannot drive. So we'll realize in the grave, man rabbuka, the question we won't be able to answer. There the answer will not come if we didn't practice in this world. Doesn't matter, you can be a chaudhry and die, but you won't be able to answer that question, man rabbuka, because you didn't practice. Well, Allah said, the istiqamat is such a great thing. And what's the reward Allah Ta'ala gives? Nawafil, on optional actions. If you stand firm on one option, One nafal, tahajjud, or awabin, the mashayikhs and the khankas, the first action they make, the murid practice. Not 1 year, 30, 40 years, they make the student practice on istiqamat. Istiqamat. Regularity. After 25 years, he may say, okay, pray awabin. Start this action. After 15 years, 20 years, taqi saab. And Mufti Rafi Usmani Sahab, after 15 years they got ijazah, they go and give a speech. Great scholars, because their father took them where? To Hazrat Sheikh Arvi Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi, that give them tarbiyah. He said, I cannot do the tarbiyah, that mashallah, you are an alim. He said, you are an alim, you can do it, I'm just a doctor. He said, whatever you are, but you are my fellow peer, by student, and I know what you can do. That subhanallah, you are better than me. Subhanallah. Mufti Shafi Sahab was the father of Mufti Taqi Sahab and Rafi Sahab. He himself wasn't the sheikh of his children. He took him to Hazrat Dr. Arfi Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi, and he assigned his children to them. And he wrote, he said that please look after them. They are great individuals. Subhanallah, from Medina, Hazrat Sheikh used to write this letter. Why not? Because his father for tarbiyah, subhanallah, he was a great personality. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahab, he could have done the tarbiyah, but he assigned them to Dr. Arfi Sahab. He wasn't some minor individual, he was an alim, mashallah. But he knew that tarbiyah will be here in the right way. What reformation and improvement? Qala Rasulullah, no, not the ilm, through the ilm, the experience and the connection with the teacher, so they can understand the ilm that they learn. Otherwise, they'll sell the ilm. So to protect their ilm, their father took them to the Wali Allah, the friend of Allah. So Hazrat Arfi Sahab, Dr. Abdul Hay, that subhanallah, he said, Mufti Sahab, it's hard for me to do. He said, I'm leaving my children in your safe hands, that you will have to give them tarbiyah. He said, okay, fine. He took them, then 15 years they didn't have ijazah. Although they were already graduated, Bukhari khatam, he said, no ijazah. After 15 years, he gave them the ijazah that you can go and speak and propagate the deen. 15 years of tarbiyah. At that time, subhanAllah, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, alhamdulillah, that his letters would come to Hazrat Arfi, that look after them, do this and do this, etc. So brothers, this is not a minor thing, the deen. And today, those people, when they speak, then their words have unique effect. They pierce the hearts. Those same people. You see in the dunya how famous they are, these scholars. In their life, they're so famous, then imagine after death, what a beautiful example, experience they will have. SubhanAllah, tell me. So all we know is that five salah in the masjid, we don't know anything else. That you've learnt ilm, you scholars, you've learnt ilm, you've got the ilm, you should know. What's the difference? Understand the difference, that our parts and components are bent. That's the difference between us and them. We don't have istiqamat on the actions. We don't have regularity. Why? We say it's not necessary, we don't need, it's not a sin, if I don't do this, if I don't do this. No, it will happen, the sin has occurred. Because if you started an action, then continue to do it. That's why you'll get a high maqam from regularity. Step one is, that's why the Mashaykh Ikram, the Pious Priest, 20-25 years, they don't give the amal, the extra amal. And the women, they have istiqamat, they're regular. Our women folk, the murids, the students, they have a lot of istiqamat. That mashallah, when they stick to an action, they continue. But our men folk, the males, they are weak on istiqamat. The women folk, mashallah, they go high in the level because they are steadfast on their actions. They're regular. So here we don't look at quantity, rather look at the quality. Oh, Shaykh, give me another lesson, give me more wazifa, give me more to do. Don't go on quantity, go on the quality. That if I'm doing this action regularly, Hazrat Sahib has given me these actions to do, and I'm regular, the amount of tasbihs he told me, the amount of dhikr he told me, the tariqah, the method, what to do. If you are following that, then the Quran gives you guarantee. Tanazzulul malaikati. Allah says, That person will get the glad and good tidings. Three guarantees. What your shaykh tells you, if you do amal on that, then this verse gives you three guarantees. How many people fill in the sheets? Tell me. How many people? Such a fantastic analysis system I've given to you. How many of the students have steadfastness on the sheet system? How many? It's not necessary. You'll realize when you depart and go to the grave. That's when you realize. Because it wasn't the shaykh's job. It's our tariqah. Allah Ta'ala says, I gave this system, this guidance. I gave this system in tariqah. When a method comes from a teacher, it's not the shaykh. It wasn't a tasbih before. Where did the tasbih come from? As a Fazal Ali Quraishi Mdali. He introduced tasbih. If he says, oh, Fazal Ali Quraishi gave this, Mujaddad al-Uftani didn't do this. No. That he also, Allah Ta'ala gives the guidance. With the generation, Allah Ta'ala gives the guidance. Yes, this is what happens. So Allah Ta'ala's choice, any time or place or era, Allah Ta'ala can continue that silsila and progress it. That you can't turn back and say, oh, many centuries ago. No, we need to do that action that our shaykh is guiding us to do. Who is my shaykh? Look at your shaykh. Who is your teacher? Who are you connected to? That shaykh who explains to you, you need to do the action. Don't turn back and look back centuries or this people used to do this, that. Just stick to what your shaykh advises you to do. That's why the mashayikh gram, they even prevent the students from reading books. Don't go into too many stories, this paisalda, that shaykh. You are not to become that shaykh. You are to become that person who your shaykh is explaining you the actions to do. Forget the stories and the tales and the events. Practice those actions with shaitan. He tricks you. No, no, no. Oh, why should we do this? You used to read the books. And why are you doing this action? The pious elders, the previous generations, they didn't do this action. Why are you, my shaykh, telling me this? He didn't do this. Why are you doing this? Etc. Then that student's gone. He's a loser. No. If you go, you request guidance. Allah sent you to that shaykh. He's your teacher. And then if he instructs you and tells you, do this A, B, C, D, E. Can you do this? If you can't do it, say, what do we do? We come. And yeah, Hazrat Sahib is famous, go to him, other people have gone to him, we come and we see. And then, that if you're not doing actions that you like, if it's not according to your desires, then we just go to the side and then we go to another shaykh. Or maybe I'll get enjoyment from another person. This is the fashion of this day and age. Why? Because no, he's a greater, his name, he's got more titles, he teaches hadith, shaykhul hadith, and they go there, maybe it'll be easier here, the instruction. Or he's too strict, the other shaykh, he says fill in the sheets and analysis and do this and that, it's too difficult. That human being in his whole life, he can never attain success. Who takes a U-turn and disregards, the person who jumps from here to there to there. Yes, your teacher, if he's alive, and you have a contact with him, the tariqah, and so this is Nur ala Nur, that he is with you and in front of you and near to you in your locality. That's Nur ala Nur. Allah Ta'ala has given you extra Nur. So what should we do then? Like I've explained, that's more enjoyment then. That for example, if your shaykh is very far away and he's giving you tarbiyah, this is very good that if you can go near to him, sit with him physically and do tarbiyah, and then don't leave the person's company. But you should have aqeedah, belief in that teacher. Yes, you should have aqeedah in your shaykh. Yes, that mashallah is telling me the same tariqah. But the fares you can attain from the second person. Subhanallah. Who is from your tariqah. So there's nothing wrong with that. If you have a teacher but he's very far away, but mashallah you have somebody in your locality you can benefit from, go and sit there in that gathering. But your teacher, he will continue to give you the benefit. But when he passes away, then subhanallah you need to select somebody else to get the guidance. So that is the condition, is that you need to be regular. So if you got 25, 30 years, 35 years students, they're first given the practice of istiqamah. When he's successful, then the next lessons are given to that teacher, to that student. Yes, though I'm not getting more sabak, more lessons. The shaykh knows that he hasn't got the capability, he's not got the capacity. He will just lose out, he'll fall back. He'll go off track, he'll go astray, he'll be deviated, somebody's niyas change, his intention change, waswasa comes, shaitan comes. My brothers, we have wasted a lot of our life like this. The friend of Allah, shaykh, if you go to his company, you request guidance, wherever he instructs you, accept it, follow that guidance, and that's the biggest mujahidah and striving and effort. This is mujahidah. Mujahidah isn't going to the wilderness in a jungle. No, mujahidah is this, wherever your shaykh instructs, be regular on that action. That's it. Don't go beyond that, don't do more than that, don't do less than that. And where do we get this example from? The time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Sahaba would come, oh ya Rasulullah, tell us something. And Rasulullah said, this is what you should do. He said, I want to do more or less than that. Rasulullah would reply, if you want to see a jannati, then this is that person. Subhanallah. That he is saying himself, that I want to do more than this, I want to do less than this. A woman came, and I can't remember her name, she came. This is a hadith. He says, "Oh, Prophet of Allah, I can't do too much actions. Give me such a lesson, a practice that I can do a wazifa, I can arrive to Jannah." Rasulullah said, "Okay, fine. The 10 times say Allahu Akbar, 10 times Subhanallah, and 10 times Allahumma Ghafirli. Recite this. This is enough." He said, "Yes, if you do this regularly, then Jannah guaranteed for you, you will have acquired paradise." Subhanallah, how easy a wazifa Rasulullah prescribed. But the condition? Regularly. Hadith. That any individual, if he's bakhil, if he's a miser, he's stingy, if he's weak, in the night he can't get up for tahajjud. Tahajjud is such a great salah. Such a great salah, tahajjud. Definitely we should try that 2 rakah we can pray of tahajjud. Yes, that person cannot arrive to Allah if he does not pray tahajjud. Remember this, that for example the night passes and his eyes open, then how will he arrive to Allah? Definitely a person should pray 2 rakah if he wants to become a friend of Allah. That sometime before Fajr he should wake up and pray tahajjud. Even if it's 2 rakah salah. All your life, don't waste your life. No difference is made if you wake up 30 minutes. You won't die if you have to wake up 30 minutes before Fajr. Let me tell you the tariqah, easy method. Easy method. Very simple method for this. Very easy way to practice this. That all the difficulties, who makes it easy? Who makes all the difficulties easy? Allah. If 1 week you practice that, Allah, I want to wake up for tahajjud. Allah, make my tahajjud easy for me. Ya Allah, make my tahajjud easy for me. Say this woman, one person came to me, he said, "I can't even get for tahajjud, how will I get for tahajjud? I don't even get for fajr, how will I get for tahajjud?" Every day, you don't have to say in Arabic, even in Urdu you can recite your request to Allah. Even in Gujarati you can say wazifa to Allah. Yes. Yes, easy, Allah Ta'ala has made it easy for us. Otherwise people like us who don't know Arabic, who are illiterate, how can we learn and recite Arabic? Even Urdu, Allah understands all languages, Sanskrit, everything, Sanskrit. So 10 times recite this and go to sleep in the night. 10 times. Thou Allah, this difficulty make ease for me. What shall I do, Allah? I feel like in my heart people pray such great salahs. Say a heart, Allah, request from the heart. And 40 days do this wazifa. And the 25th day he came to me, he said, "Forget about tahajjud, that fajr, I'm so habitual now, and tahajjud, I'm so habitual, and I've started, that I get a jolt, a shake, and I get up." Subhanallah. He said, "I don't even need the alarm clock now." Subhanallah. That Allah Ta'ala, that subhanallah, Allah, please guide me, help me. Everything is easy when you ask Allah to make it easy. From the most difficult and difficult of actions, Allah makes it easy. So for us, deen is the most important thing in our life. Islam, the way of life, Islam. The most important thing in the world that we have is deen ul Islam, and that's it. Everything we ask from Allah, give me a house, give me this, ask for that, it's good. Allah, give me a wife, children, etc. Ask for these things. But these are unnecessary things you're asking. The most important, essential thing is deen. If you are stuck in the deen, then straight away start practicing the action. Say Subhanallah. That you can't keep the beard. Allah, I want to keep the beard. Allah, it's hard for me, Allah. Open my heart, Allah. I keep on shaving, Allah. Keep on, then ask from Allah and see how your beard starts to grow after that. Subhanallah. The Allah Ta'ala makes the laziness go far away. Allah, I'm not praying salah in jama'ah. Cry, shriek out, scream in a way. Like, for example, you want a house and you're not getting a house. How will you cry, Allah, give me a house? Allah, I'm upset, Allah. And the landlord, he's giving me a hard time. And you cry and you ask from Allah, Ya Allah, I don't have a car. I have to go by foot. I have to drop my children by foot. Allah, have rahmah, have mercy. Give us a good car, Allah. And from your heart, you ask for these things of the dunya. These are things, but ask for that thing which we're desperate about. Allah, give me deen. Allah, give me deen. Allah, give me love of dhikrullah. So I was telling you a hadith. That if you are lazy and neglectful, this the biggest solution to laziness. If you're lazy, you can't pray tahajjud. If you're alert, you'll get up for tahajjud. Yes, and lazy person and the alert person, the massive difference is, the difference is like the person who's alive or dead, for whom Rasulullah did dua. Dua. Ta'awuz. That Allah save me from this. Save me from neglect. Save me from laziness. Save me from bukhl. Save me from all these things. These are big illnesses. And the biggest illness is laziness that doesn't allow a person to pray salah. Allah's Nabi said, if you are lazy, neglectful in praying tahajjud, and you are bakhil and you can't spend in the path of Allah, and you keep your hands in your pockets and tight, you don't want to take money out and spend in Allah's deen, you don't want to give food to a poor person, you don't want to give food to a humble fakir, somebody who is desperately in need, you don't want to fulfill his need, and someone comes from far to ask for me, and you keep your hands in your pockets where you can spend five, you don't, and you'll only spend two, and you'll keep the three buried. So who is this person? The Sharia defines this person as a bakhil, miser person. It's a big illness, big disease. So due to being a miser, you don't spend in the path of Allah. And you're a coward. Who is a coward? Who cannot make effort in the path of Allah. Who can't stand firm in the path of Allah. He is a coward, Allah says. That if you have these three defects inside you, then Rasulullah said, then listen, then you do one action, I'll tell you the solution. Then start doing the dhikr of Allah, and it'll be the solution for these maladies. Start doing dhikr of Allah, but the condition with this is what? That do dhikr of Allah, but with istiqamah do dhikr of Allah. Istiqamah. Then there'll be an effect with your dhikr, your laziness will go, your miserliness will go, and your cowardice will go. Subhanallah. Laziness will go, stinginess will go, and your cowardice will go. And you'll become a great human being. So what's being told here? Ask from Allah. Rasulullah has given us the method. Ask from Allah. You just die like this? You want to die as a stingy person? As a lazy person? As a coward? Will this be a death of a human being when he dies with these defects and sins? Yes, and the Mullah not to ask you that at least you could have done dua once for me. As Arfi, Dr. Abdul Hai Ramdhaya, present one of his statements to you, because I was in his sohbat as well, his company, and he's very respectful and honorable for me. Rahmatullah alayhi, may Allah have mercy on him and put nur into his grave. So he said a great thing. He said, okay, fine, that you'll be present in front of Allah. He used to speak like this. He was from Lucknow, and his Urdu was very beautiful and eloquent. As Arfi, he said, tell me, okay, fine. Today you complain, and in front of Allah, let's say you pass away and you're present in front of Allah. And Allah will say, that why did you do this sin? And then go give the answer now to Allah. Say, Allah, what could we do? We were in a bad environment that you sent us to England, and it was hard there. There were bad things there. Women were walking around and there were attractions. What could we do, Allah? And Hazrat Arfi, Kamil Sheikh, decades ago, look at the cure he's giving. He said, you'll make this excuse to Allah, isn't it? You say this. So give this answer to Allah then. Okay, give the answer, fair enough, Allah, that this was a problem with your forces. What will Allah reply to you with? What will answer? And you say, Allah will say, then Allah will say, that why didn't you do dua to me to ask for my help? Subhanallah. Did you once ask dua from me, Allah, save me from this environment? If you did dua to Allah to be saved, and you then weren't saved, then you can complain to Allah, and Allah will save you, to send you to Jannah, paradise. Subhanallah. Now tell me, is anything hard in Islam? So who said, don't go USA, don't go to this country, but go with du'as. Allah save me. Allah safeguard me. Allah protect me. So at least minimum, when you go to Allah's courthouse, then you'll do du'as. And you'll ask from Allah. Yes, and when you do du'as to Allah, inshallah, they'll be accepted. But we don't even do du'a to Allah. Allah, my eyes are spoiled. Whenever I go out, I look at girls. Allah, do du'a. Allah, safeguard my eyesight. Preserve my eyesight. When it's night time, I do dhikr, I go home, then I take my phone out, open the screen, and I go towards against dirty scenes and images. Do you do dua after that for Allah's protection? No. Do dua for tahajjud. Allah, I still do sins. Allah, save me. Allah, I looked at the phone again, the mobile phone again, I did wrong. Keep this action going every day, every day. Not just will this dua be accepted, but Allah's love and connection will be strengthened. And the strengthen that Allah has given a path, that when a person does my dhikr, this is dhikr as well. This is also dhikr, doing dua to Allah regularly. If you're upset and down, you're sick, who should you ask from? Allah, I can't sleep. Allah, do something for me. I can't sleep. You speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, Allah send an angel so I can sleep. I have to pray salah tomorrow. I have to do dhikr. I have to get up to hajjud. That I can go like this and tired, but Allah give me your karam and mercy. Keep on asking, keep on asking. Allah says, keep on asking. Repeatedly asking. At least ask from me, Allah says. So the most important thing that we need to bring to our life, we have nothing in our life, the most important thing is what? Say loudly, deen. Deen. So if we don't ask Allah for deen, then what will we ask Allah for? If we don't ask for salah, we don't ask for salah in jama'ah, don't ask for salah in congregation, Allah has given us a shaykh and dhikr and tariqah. If we don't do dhikr, then Allah is not going to send angels to do dhikr with us, is he? Ask from Allah. Allah, sometimes I'm weak, I'm lazy, I do dhikr every day, but sometimes I fill in my sheets. I don't fill my sheets improperly. Allah, in a week, at least come for a week, in one majlis week. No, I live far away. I go on Thursday night. So you've become a person of just Friday night that can extend your feet and your footsteps and make more effort. The further away you are, then travel for the name of Allah. For His sake, I'll go, inshallah, I'll sit. For the name of Allah, I'm going. I'm not going for any other action. So when mujahidah comes into your life, when you strive and make effort, when you make effort and work hard, then Allah will give more reward. Subhanallah. Just a few days of life, my friends, work hard, make effort, inshallah, tomorrow, abshiru fil jannah. Abshiru. The good news of Jannah, the angels will give to you. You had a life of steadfastness, istiqamah. The path Allah put you on, that you go to a teacher, go to a sheikh, whatever wazifa He gives to you, whatever lessons He prescribes to you, they're your permanent lessons. That's it, istiqamah, end of story. The other things we won't need to do extra. That's it. We have no regard for that. We aren't related to that. This is my sheikh. He's instructed me, teachings, lessons. Alhamdulillah, istiqamah on that. Alhamdulillah, you will succeed. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, ability to practice this. Ameen. Recite the Durood Sharif.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم بالعالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين شفيع المسلمين طه وياسين النبي الأمين اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وزوجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وآل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجدنا وغدنا وأمدنا كل ذلك عندنا. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. يا أيها القيوم برحمتك نستغيث. يا أيها القيوم برحمتك نستغيث. يا أيها القيوم برحمتك نستغيث. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. فقنا عذاب القبر. فقنا عذاب الحشر. فقنا عذاب الميزان. وادخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار. يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان وأجرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين نبيين صدقين صادقين صالحين يا حسن أولئك رفيقا. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. اللهم استغفرنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته واشرفنا بزمرته يا كريم يا كريم يا كريم. يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا. يا دافع البليات ادفع بلياتنا. يا شافي المراد اشفع مرادنا. يا شافي المراد اشفع مرادنا. يا شافي المراد اشفع مرادنا.
ہمارے ایک ساتھی ہیں, ان کے سسر سخت بیمار ہیں, پرسٹن, ان کے لیے دعا فرمائے. اللہ تعالیٰ صحت کامل عاجل نصیب فرمائے.
ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا واستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات. ہمارے ایک ساتھی ہیں, ان کے تایا جان کا انتقال ہو گیا یہیں پر بولٹن میں, ان کے لیے دعا فرمائے. اللہ تعالیٰ ان کی مغفرت فرمائے, اللہ تعالیٰ ان کے درجات بلند فرمائے, اللہ تعالیٰ ان کے پستمان کا صبر جمیل نصیب فرمائے.
وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ نور عرشہ زینت فرشہ وآلہ اصحابہ ازواجہ ذریاتہ اہل بیتہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین. سبحان ربک رب العزة عما یصفون وسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ رب العالمین.